This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
In the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. If I haven't met you yet, my name is Lynn Jones, and I have the honor of being the chaplain and the sacred studies teacher at St. Joseph's Episcopal School. Were those readings cool or what? Those are the readings that are appointed for today, but Father Marty let me use the book that we use at the school, one I found out about at the National Association of Episcopal Schools biennial in New Orleans last year. Some of you saw Kyle Aubrey's Facebook pages of the food that he ate. I said, why don't you take a picture of my salads? And he said, because they're boring. Sorry, Kyle, I just made him blush. But that's not hard to do. We love him. I heard about it at the biennial convention. A bunch of chaplains told me about it, and they said, we use it at our school, and it is so cool because the kids can relate. The kids can understand Scripture because it's put into their language. So it's a lectionary, a children's lectionary, and it's called God's Word, Our Voices. God's Word, Our Voices. And just like we did in the psalm with repeating the refrain, the little ones who can't read it's always a really simple refrain, and the children can hear that and they can participate because they repeat with all the other older kids who do know how to read. We have it all up on the screens. Knowing God is the beginning of wisdom. Knowing God is the beginning of wisdom. And whatever the refrain is for the particular psalm that we're doing, everybody can join in. They can all participate. So I don't know about you, but I think that's really cool. The Pharisees and the scribes are not really asking Jesus about his authority because they want to know. They're really testing him. They're trying to trap him. His teachings and his actions are threatening because they're challenging the authority of those in power, and that's them. Pharisees and the scribes. They're the ones in the temple with the authority and the power. And here comes this unknown teacher from, of all places, Galilee, a place full of foreigners, full of unclean folks. And he marches into the city of Jerusalem, that very holy city, and he comes into the temple. And in the chapter before this, he has overthrown the tables of the money changers. He's acting like he is somebody. And he's also hanging around with tax collectors and prostitutes and thieves, people who are not good Jews. They disobey the law. He's hanging out with scoundrels, people on the edges, people on the fringes that nobody else respects or would have as their friends, people who don't belong in the temple. They just don't. They're not good enough. So when they say, by what authority are you doing that? You know, where's your authority coming from? They're trying to trap him. And they are pushing back because their own power is threatened. See, they really look and act very, very holy. Look at a scribe or a Pharisee and you recognize immediately that they're in the power structure of the temple. They're very cool folks, religiously speaking. And they have a lot of power. They have a lot of power over the people. Jesus isn't trying to trick them. He's challenging them. He's asking them to take a look at themselves and their faithfulness. If they did acknowledge John the Baptist, a question they avoid, there's no really politically correct answer to that. Anyway, they answer, they're going to get in trouble. They're going to get trapped. But they end up trapped anyway by not answering the question. But answering his second question, You know, they fall back on we don't know. That's not a bad thing. If we don't know, we should admit it. But they knew. But it wasn't anything that they would have said would have gotten somebody upset at them. And again, would have threatened their power. And if they acknowledge John, they're going to have to acknowledge Jesus' authority. Matthew's writing this gospel, and he's already told us about Jesus' baptism. This is my beloved son, God said. This is my beloved son. Trust him. Listen to him. And they don't listen. Jesus tells a story about two sons. One, kind of a snarky little kid, says no when his father asks him to work in the vineyard. The second son says, oh, yes, I'll go, Father. Now, the first one who said no in his snarky way changed his mind and went and worked. The one who said, oh, yeah, I'll go. I'm a good boy. I'll go. He didn't go. And so when Jesus says, which one did the Father's will? They said the one that said no at first, and he went and did it. He changed his mind. Jesus points out to them that he points out to the Pharisees and scribes that the tax collectors and the prostitutes listened to John when John asked for repentance. And if you're associated with the school, you know all in the world of repentance means is to change direction. If you're going in the wrong direction, you just change direction. You head the other way. You head toward Jesus. The tax collectors and the prostitutes listened to John, and they listen to Jesus, and they change their minds. From the outside, it looks like they are not people of God. They are not following Jewish law as prostitutes and tax collectors, but they listen to John, they listen to Jesus, and they change their lives. They listen. Now, the Pharisees have supposedly been listening, but they have no interest in changing. They're part of the present structure, and they would like to keep it as it is. Thank you very much. And they're certainly not going to let some upstart foreigner or person from a foreign place come in and tell them anything about God, anything about God's law. You see, the Pharisees and the scribes, it's just the way they live. They say they are holy and good and faithful, and they look like it on the outside, but they don't live it. The prostitutes and the tax collectors look like they're saying no to God, but they listen to God, to John, and they listen to Jesus. They change their minds and they change their hearts. Every year, on this first Sunday in October, we celebrate Episcopal Schools Week, really. It lasts for 7 days. We celebrate that with all the Episcopal schools in the United States and elsewhere. We welcome students and teachers and staff from our school at this 9:30 service. Teachers and staff, please. Would you just stand up? Don't be embarrassed. Just stand up. Are these people cool or what? Can we give them a hand? Thank you. You can sit down. Students, do we have any students who showed up today?
Acolytes.
Any students?
Acolytes.
Acolytes are students, yeah. And former students. Thank you. Thank you. Former students. Great. We've got alumni here. It's an amazing celebration because we do amazing work. And this is our 60th anniversary this year. So thank you, St. Joseph's Parish, for giving birth to our amazing school and for supporting us and upholding us and encouraging us for 60 long years. Thank you very much. Give yourselves a hand. All the readings we heard this morning, really uphold the theme from this year, which is be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Be transformed by the renewing of your minds. From the psalm where we all said together, knowing God is the beginning of wisdom, to hearing about our gifts, how some of us are teachers, some of us have clear vision and call other people to accountability, all the many, many different unique gifts that God creates in each one of us. We all have something to give. We all have something to give. So we don't need to think like the Pharisees and the scribes that we're too cool. Because there are other very cool people too, and we celebrate that. Be transformed by the renewing of your minds. We who teach at the school, who work at the school, we have a special trust placed in us. All teachers all over the world have that kind of trust, but for us it's different here at St. Joseph's Episcopal School. Because not just the teachers, but the staff. Every person who partakes in running the school has this trust placed in them as well as the teachers. You know, I thanked this parish for upholding us and encouraging us. If you were to compare our two mission statements, they would be different. The mission of this church is to bring people to Christ. Now, we have a lot of students in our school who are not Christians. We have a lot of students in our school who are Christians, but they belong to other denominations. And I'm sure that's why they're here, that we're not here this morning, because many of them are Catholics, so they're going to the Catholic Church this morning. Some are Presbyterians, Methodists, Lutherans, you name it, Church of Christ. So they're worshiping in their own communities. I told them if they'd come, we'd stand up for them, and we'd clap for them, let them stand up. But, you know, parents just think you ought to go to your own church sometimes. About 25% of an Episcopal school is actually Episcopalian. Only 25%. And that's true mostly for us, isn't it, Mary? Mary Aprovich knows all those statistics about us. Thank you, Mary. So about 25% of our school is Episcopalian. The others are other Christian denominations, and some of them are no denomination and no religion, no faith at all. And the only exposure they have to God is when we come and worship together. One of the things we celebrate in these 7 days, and in fact throughout our life as an Episcopal school, is our Episcopal identity. And see, that's where these two merge, your mission statement and our mission statement. That's where they merge, in our Episcopal identity. You see, we don't just talk about it, although we do talk about it. It comes out of our prayer book, in the baptismal vows, to be specific. It goes all the way from the vow about following the apostles' teaching and prayers, worship, through loving our neighbor as ourselves, and centers on that final vow in the baptismal vows, that we respect the dignity of every human being. We work for justice and peace and respect the dignity of every human being. You see, we don't just talk the talk, we walk the walk. We live it. We live it. Not just me as the chaplain, but all the teachers and the staff and the students. The teachers and staff model it for the students, and the students model it for each other. And it's an amazing miracle to watch and to be a part of. It's also very challenging. You know, this is my third year. Before I did this, I was a lawyer, and then I was a rector of a parish. I was an associate at a parish and then a rector. And then I was a spiritual counselor at a recovery inpatient facility for people who suffer from addiction. And they were all challenging in their own way, but I got to tell you, being a teacher and being the chaplain of an Episcopal school is calling forth within my depths, skills that I'm learning from the children and from the other teachers, and it's challenging. This is the hardest, I gotta tell you, I gotta be honest, this is the hardest job I've ever done. Why do I do it? Because I think God is calling me to do it. I know God is calling me to do it. This is my vocation at this point in my life. Although I have asked God a few times, you know, I was thinking my last years of working would be kind of sliding downhill and just relaxing and then retiring. But that's not what God wants me to do, apparently. Children keep us all on our toes. Transforming minds begins with a transformation of the heart. You know, we don't talk very much about witnessing in the Episcopal Church, but the truth of it is, every one of us is constantly witnessing to who we are and what we believe and what is important to us. Our witnessing can be very clearly read by anyone, by the way we treat each other, by the way we spend our money, by what they hear come out of our mouths, and how they can compare what we say with what we do. The children are always watching. Stephen Sondheim said much the same thing in a song, "Careful the things you say." Children will listen. Careful the things you do. Children will see and learn. Ezekiel uses the imagery of a heart of stone being turned into a heart of flesh. Paul talks about our becoming living sacrifices. That's what we are called to be, living sacrifices. Giving our lives over to God and living that out in our lives. That's what the students and the staff of the Episcopal School do. We live out in our lives what we say we believe. The children learn by seeing how we act and what we do, what we say. And I tell you what, they'll be really fast, very quick to point out any discrepancies, as children have a great habit of doing. Transforming minds begins with transforming the heart. A change of mind requires a change of heart. That's how the tax collectors and the prostitutes changed. They listened. Their hearts changed when they're offered this amazing relationship, and they began a new life. Jesus shows us again and again that talking the talk is meaningless unless we walk the walk. And so all of us, teachers and staff here from St. Joseph's Episcopal School, but also all of us present at church today, we all model all the time and teach by example. Those of us who have a vocation at St. Joseph's Episcopal School have a great and honorable trust that Jesus himself has placed in us. It's a responsibility and a trust, and we will be held accountable for it, I believe in my heart of hearts. We teach the children about accountability. You don't turn in your homework, you're going to get a zero. We might give you another chance if you need one. We teach them accountability and responsibility, and we model it. The gospel today sheds light on this trust about how living who we say we are, not just saying it, not just appearing on the outside, but living it. All this is modeling. We're constantly saying who we are by what we do. We do it all the time, although for some of us, we're unaware of it. In our Episcopal school, we strive to honor the trust our Lord and God places in us by living this truth, by witnessing to our Episcopal identity, by honoring God, in worshiping together as a community. That's a huge part, huge important part of our identity. We strive for justice and peace, and most of all, by respecting the dignity of every human being. So you see, even though our mission statement is not exactly the same as the church's, our living of our vocation through Episcopal identity models Jesus' teaching. And we strive to live into our mission every day. Be transformed by the renewing of your minds is our theme. Remember, it starts with the heart. This is our vocation and our trust. And again, I thank Father Marty, Rev. Wendy, who knows all about being a chaplain and gives me all kinds of amazing advice because she started out her time in the church. Actually, at Sunday school with me here at St. Joseph's many years ago, but then she was the chaplain here for 10 years. St. Wendy, I think we should call her St. Wendy. It made her blush now. I want to thank Father Marty and Rev. Wendy and all of you for supporting and upholding us at the school, because we couldn't do it without your prayers. We couldn't do it without your support and your encouragement. And we're celebrating 60 years. We're almost as old as you are, but not quite. This parish had to get its feet on the ground, I guess, before they started the school. So thank you for supporting our school ministry, which is an outreach of this parish ministry. Amen.